Good morning. Today is Friday, the 17th of December. 1 week out, huh?
1 week out from, some of the holiday season.
Well, if you go to Midnight Mass, 1 week
right,
out.
1 week out.
Yes. Joining us this morning is Arcadia City Manager Karen Diemer and Traveler.
And Traveler for the holidays this year.
Yeah. You guys going anywhere next week? Or was Thanksgiving your run?
I think we're definitely going to the hot spot for the holidays, yeah. Wisconsin. I think that's where everybody tries to get to, right?
I was on a call this morning, and one of the fellows is from South Dakota. Okay, we didn't have any Wisconsin guys there, so I don't know if they were snowed in or not.
I'm sorry for
But he
this
said
morning.
It was 6 inches of snow yesterday when it started. Mm. Then they got another 3 or 4 inches. Then it went vertical or horizontal. And he wasn't quite sure, but there may have been locust in the evening. So, yeah.
Sounds like the holidays right there.
Yeah, exactly. You probably even followed college hockey at one point.
Very much so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that, we've never heard about here.
No, we don't have a lot of hockey playing
out here. No, Boston College and who's the big, there's the traditional team. It's like all they do, University of Maine. It's like they win the NCAA Division I, but that's the only sport they participate in at that level. Everything else is like a D3.
Yeah.
But they come on like a house of fire there.
I'll still root for the Badgers.
All right. Well, you know, that at least it explains the tattoo and the wardrobe, so
you're
okay. New book.
Why you say it.
Yes. Uh-oh. Okay.
Or why you shouldn't say it. We'll see what it tells us.
We'll
this
go
morning.
With cheesecake.
Hmm.
Why do you say cheesecake?
Yeah. Because the cake is made with cheese? What do you say cheesecake for?
This is in reference to a person.
Oh, you're
not
a cheesecake?
Not the culinary.
Okay. Yes. I don't think I've ever called anyone a cheesecake.
Or been called?
I've been called a lot of things. Yeah. I think I would...
Might
take
remember
cheesecake.
That one? Yeah. Measured by standards of their era, some entertainers have been scantily clad since an early promoter first charged a fee to watch them. Until the century, however, deliberately uncovered flesh was seldom seen except in special places. Photography and mass circulation publications made near nudity common, but not commonplace. Until recent decades, practically all subjects for the specialized form of art were female. Especially in the case of a natural blonde or a redhead, skin color is often remarkably close to that of a delicacy, here we go, whose basic ingredient is cream cheese.
I guess what we have
Think Rubenesque here.
I think we have taught your listeners that you do not read these ahead of time. You
no,
pick
I don't.
Randomly from the book.
Yes. It was natural and inevitable to compare flesh tones with food. That's why we use cheesecake to label big areas of bare skin or photos and performances featuring them. You want circus instead?
Circus sounds good, but I think we're good.
I think we're there.
Yeah.
Cheesecake in the holidays. We'll just kind of
we'll just go with that.
Move on, huh? Well, I mean, you brought some cheese in.
That's
I
true.
I thought that there might be some kind of a
did bring a little Wisconsin cheese into this.
But you know, if somebody was colored yellow like that,
mm-hmm.
They'd probably be in the hospital. Oh, gee. Governor's new edict this week. Any significant change? Or formalization of, or with the masking? I mean, back to normal?
Stay the course for Humboldt County, right? We've always been a high county, so I just don't think we have relaxed as much as others. So stay the course here. Be thankful that we live in a rural area. Mask, vaccinate, get your booster. This morning I read that still only 18% of the United States that are eligible have received boosters. So I think with the...
It's kind of tough to find it now.
Really?
You had to make an appointment. I think next week sometime.
Good.
2 weeks to make an appointment.
Yeah. I think appointments are 1 to 2 weeks.
Which is kind of goofy because before it was like show up at, CR or wherever.
Yeah.
And, smile for the camera and it's over.
Right. But still... Get in to get your booster. A couple weeks isn't too long to wait.
You just think there would be more easily attained.
Mm-hmm.
Ho, ho, ho. KINS, news and information.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Deemer. Karen, the concept of this time of the year, different challenges are out there. What is, from the city's perspective, what is it that is the biggest challenge with the change of weather?
Well, from an operational standpoint, it's just the amount of rain we get, you know, and if that rain comes in huge, huge swaths all at once, right, for our sewer system, for our storm drain system. You know, otherwise, from a community perspective, I think as we get into the cold weather, it's really looking at cold weather shelters, and that's been very challenging during COVID because the rules are still, you know, really prohibiting what we call congregate sheltering. Or the churches that used to just open their doors, and we would bring, you know, folks would meet at our Kid House Partnership and receive a meal and receive bedding and then be transported to the church that was offering that sheltering. That type of group sheltering is just really not possible under COVID. So we've been looking at a number of different ways. We're very close to finalizing a lease for a safe parking area to be able to better support people that right now are just currently living on the streets or parking lots in their cars.
And that's different than the hotels out in Valley West that you referenced last month.
Yeah, the hotels in Valley West just went to the council on Wednesday night, and so those would be long-term, permanent, really supportive housing. And those two projects are still moving forward. I mean, they're grant applications, so they'll still, you know, we'll either get those grants or we won't as they get put in. But those would be both for the Days Inn and for the Red Roof Inn.
Are they connected or are they two independent?
They're two independent projects. So the Days Inn is a project in terms of the acquisition of the hotel. It'll be purchased by Arcata House Partnership. Through the grant, through the city, the city applies for the grant.
Through the filters, yeah.
Exactly, but we'll get it there, and Arcata House Partnership will have ownership of the Days Inn property, and then it's the Danco Group that is looking at ownership of Red Roof. And so the Red Roof...
And then they contract out?
Arcata House Partnership will operate. I mean, I think, you know,
oh,
the
both.
County will operate the Days Inn,
okay.
And then we're still working out sort of the operational model for the Red Roof Inn. It'll be a combination of, I assume, county services. Danco will bring services, and Arcata House Partnership will support it as well. So in terms of staffing, you know, Danco, I think, manages a lot of housing in terms of placement of people and support of people and managing, you know, wraparound, like, resource services that are coming into the site. I think they've got the capacity. Actually, Danco has three of these projects, one in Oakland, I think one in San Jose, and then the one in Arcata. So they, you know, will have some experience around the state with operations as well.
Almost a subspecialty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that, I don't know if this is the right word or not, permanentize? I know there's a word there. I just can't find the right form for it. And make structural this type of outreach, this type of service, or is this something that is going to have a sunset built into it for, I don't know, 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road?
Yeah. The first round of grants, right, the grants that you get right now come with 5 years of operational support dollars. And then in that time frame, the idea is to build in long-term program support. I mean, there is a lot of money right now that comes into this community that's accessed by the service provider. So it's trying to figure out how we build what we need long-term, you know, for that operation. But this is the first time we've seen grants come with 5 years of operations. Typically, it's just the capital. And so you're starting from scratch of trying to build the service model.
I guess what I was hoping for is that this gives an opportunity to get these folks out of the homeless situation onto their feet and back into society,
mm-hmm.
rather than structuralizing and formalizing. And okay, this is now your your home for into the future undetermined.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a forced turnover? I guess it's kind of like getting federal funding for programs and they're not sunsetted or ever reviewed. They just are there and then built upon and built upon and built upon.
Yeah.
And pretty soon they're not even looked at anymore. They're just part of the system.
I'll use the term of what they'd call case management. So each of these, you know, individuals will have a case manager that will be actively working on, you know, how do you build in value and self-independence in your life over time, and whether that's through, you know, transitioning into other types of housing, or whether that's getting a job, or, you know, whether that's providing volunteer service somewhere, or helping around the actual property, or doing peer mentorship. I mean, there's a lot of ways.
Bettering their situation.
But everybody comes with a real individual story and a real individual set of challenges, right? So I don't, none of these programs have a time certain. Some people might be in these shelters for 90 days, right? And some might be there for 5 or 10 years.
Is there a ratio of caseworker to individuals that are part of this grant so that it doesn't become like we've seen with probation, with foster care, with a bunch of these where, you know, okay, you're one of 50 or 45 or 150, and yeah, okay, I see you twice a month, thank you very much, but what's your name again?
Right.
You know, and nothing happens. Or, worse yet, the system is forcing something, and whether you fit or not, they're going to stuff you in that square if you're a circle.
I know for one of the projects, the ratio is 1 to 20 with the days in with our Cato House Partnership. And, you know, we are challenged by finding workers in this region and training opportunities for, you know, working with the homeless population. It has its own set of skills. So if you're interested, now is the time to reach out to our Cato House Partnership, because they will be hiring.
Or the county or anybody that does these services.
Yeah. Super valuable work, but we really need skilled individuals to come forward.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We are back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Is that coffee still warm?
Yeah, it's tea. It's actually
Okay.
It's a grapefruit tea, which I've never had before. But my sister actually sends me a tea advent calendar every year. So
oh, cool.
We're on, you know, day 17. It's grapefruit.
Well, we know you're not taking blood pressure medicine then if you're on grapefruit. It's the one thing I miss was grapefruit juice.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like a jug a week.
Mm.
And just cold turkey. It's like,
I didn't realize you just had to give that up.
Yeah, I guess that's a common thing if you take that med, because it neutralizes the medicine. It's like, well, okay. That's not quite the productive thing that we want.
No.
How does the city know if a program is successful or not?
I mean, I guess it really is dependent on the program. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, homeless services, we look at...
or parks and rec or roads. I mean, you know, is there a standard that each department or each area is measured against?
Each of them measure against, you know, themselves. It's not that you can always just do more, right? But we look at, say, you know, miles or square footage paved, you know, each year if you're looking at paving. In recreation, they do a lot.
And how often do you have to go back and fix those bottles in that same area? Was it done properly? Yeah.
And how many times did you rip up the new road that you just paved that year? That's been our big goal the last 5 years is like, get all the underground work done first. You know, I know you really want those potholes paved over, but we need to wait one more year as we get all the water and sewer connections redone. But yeah, each of them have their own. You know, Parks and Rec, they do a lot of pre and post surveys for them. It's a lot more qualitative data than, you know, than it is numbers. But, you know, I think overall,
and then those get reviewed by your team? Who looks at
them? Yeah, by recreation staff, by environmental services staff.
So if you go, so you then are able to either do an attaboy or, hey guys, you know, we need to do a little bit more attention in the whatever the situation might be.
Yeah, yeah, or they are, just in how they modify their programs each year, you know, in terms of that. I mean, we look at a lot of numbers, but, you know, at least local government at the city level, I think the accountability comes through the elected officials, right? So they...
So I was wondering if the electeds are involved also in that process.
And so they're setting goals and they're setting priority projects. And our job as staff is to liaison with the community to complete those projects, right? So that really becomes the accountability measure.
Do the electeds ever come to you and say, hey, how are we doing?
Oh, all the time. Like, I'll just
so there is a full
week.
There's a loop on that project. You know, how did that one grade out? How
And their priority projects are listed, right? And so they'll get a mid-year update of that, and then they start in goal setting, and they review all of those.
Well, that's
again.
Easy. That's looking through the front mirror. Windshield, right. Sorry. I'm thinking about the mirror and
the
looking backwards
mirror,
and going, you know, hey, you know, in the last 5 years, how are those projects holding up?
Mm-hmm.
Were they done properly? Was the funding still? Those types of things to make sure that you're building on your foundation rather than just lily pad to lily pad, and it's never ever really reviewed.
Right. Yeah. I think it's, you know, a lot of our projects are reviewed as we're setting the planning for the next set, right? So, I mean, paving is sort of the easy question, you know, the easy example is that when we look out at what we call our pavement management plan, you know, then we're assessing all the roads, and we can look at the grades of the roads would indicate, do you just get an overlay this year, right? We don't have money or time to grind every road and repave them every year, right? So you really are looking at how do we maintain, you know, a safety factor of surfaces to travel through the roads, right? So are they just getting an overlay, or do they have to be ground out and replaced this year?
Now that's the department head's responsibility to pull that together, right?
Right.
And then
they look back to say, you know, how did that work? We've done an overlay on this road 3 times, and we're doing them every 2 years. It's time for, you know, us to grind that out and re-inlay that pavement. I mean, that's just an easy example, but, you know.
It would be one that would be tiring if you were in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So how, with the inflation, whether it's 8%, 14%, depending on your standards that you're using, how's that impacting things right now? As you're looking at the next budget, the preliminary stuff being put together now, is everybody scaling it back? Not because business is off, but because costs are so spiraling out of control?
Yep. We are really closely looking at that from two sides. One, from the side of what it's going to cost for operations of the city. And then what does it look like? We charge a lot of fees, right? So how much of that do we pass on? Or how much of that can our community not bear to receive as a pass-on fee, whether it's in water or sewer or building permits? So we're looking at that coin from both sides right now.
So those costs are coming in. It's more expensive now to deliver water than it was this time last year?
Absolutely.
Because
parts cost more, because chlorine costs more, because, you know, and so on.
Chlorine, wait a minute. I thought you had just had ponds.
That's on the treatment side.
Oh, okay. That's after use, not before use.
But we
all
do
right.
have to disinfect still.
So there is change afoot.
There is, yeah. So it's always that balance. Do you scale down, you know, service a little bit to try to keep costs contained so, you know, your community doesn't experience cost increases, right? Like for a water system or the sewer system, that is all funded by user fees. All right, so you've got
100%?
100%. They're in our, what we in government call enterprise funds, right? They're a closed loop. So every dime you pay for your water bill, it goes to the water system. It doesn't go to a parks program. It doesn't go to paving. It goes to water.
But water delivery or treatment isn't seen as a base level responsibility of government, and that the general taxes that end up with the jurisdiction aren't allocated there, and then the gap then gets paid for?
It all comes through user fees. That system stays, cycled within just itself. And the same with sewer.
Including
the same with garbage.
Personnel costs?
Yep, all of it. Yep. So, I mean, the flip side is...
how do you pay for cops then? Not user fees.
No, not user fees. That all comes through general tax. So that's what we call in government our general fund. So sales tax, bed tax, transient occupancy tax, which you pay at the hotels or an Airbnb. We have a utility users tax. So those tax bases or your building permit fees, your business licenses, those all go into what we call the general fund to fund general services like police, parks, recreation, and administration.
What was that last one?
Nobody needs no stinking administration.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, hits 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So we're kind of wrapping up half year for you guys, the end of the year for most normal people.
It's true, local government will never be normal. Yeah, I guess that's the message today.
And the cycle must be because of when tax monies came in. You know, where did a fiscal year come from instead of a calendar year?
Right.
That's about the only thing I could ever kind of come up to speed with. Some of the stuff that you're hearing out of Sacramento with, the governor now is going to try to use the abortion interpretation at the Supreme Court for the Texas and now leverage that into guns. When you hear things like that, you just kind of scratch your head also like, yeah, we see the sausage. We don't see it being made.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the inside. Does that kind of stuff get you and just kind of get you scratching your head a little bit going, there's something goofy going on in Sacramento that we just don't really understand?
No, but, you know, all I've really read is the headline on that. I mean, we're just combing Sacramento for things that are going to drastically affect local government revenues, right? I mean, that's our focus there. And
yeah, but areas you need to enforce or things, you know, things that then ripple that result in impacts.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's a challenge. With economic development, you know, do you guys have a department or an individual tasked with that?
We do, yeah.
What are they reading in the tea leaves?
I mean, what we're reading is that from an economic standpoint in California is a lot of growth ahead, right? So we're seeing positive indicators in terms of economic growth. What we're still seeing statewide is a housing crisis, and we're obviously seeing a service crisis around, you know, from schools to homeless services, mental health services, healthcare services. But from a business standpoint, we're seeing a lot of growth.
Is there anything that the city's doing? I know you don't have a ton of space available, but with development fees for not low income, not student housing, just regular good old-fashioned family stuff. Are you looking to waive the fees to make it simpler, easier, have more housing in Arcata? Or is the consensus Arcata's kind of built out? Okay, if you want to remodel a Victorian, go knock your socks off. We'll help you out where we can.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a McKinleyville thing or a Cutton thing or a Fortuna thing.
Yeah, so really for 20 years.
I like
years,
the deep breath.
A deep breath on this one, yeah. If anyone's been following Arcata News, we've had this week, right, we've had really lengthy discussion, three big meetings this week, on the conversation around infill development and what that looks like, right? For 20 years, the city's general plan has been built around the premise to protect the green belt around Arcata, the forest lands, the ag lands. We're not going to be building into the bay, right? But to really focus our development on infill. We are now at a point in Arcata, as you've indicated, Brian, where we're fairly built out, right? So to really make a marketable change in how many housing units or how many business developments we have, you're going to start to see what we call density infill.
And that's like second story, third story?
So that's second story, third story, fifth story. So we released a plan called the Arcata Gateway Specific Plan around a certain area in Arcata that from just a, you know, sort of a demographic standpoint and looking at the parcels has a lot of opportunity for infill development. And so that plan has been released, and we're having really rich and as traditional in Arcata spirited discussion, right? Because the plan calls for 4 stories, 5, 6, 7, and 8 story potentials. Now those decisions.
Not with existing or with existing going up? New construction?
Well,
or
if you structurally could add 2 stories to something you have in the zone and it meets the code. So what we know is that developers, homeowners that want to build, they want one thing. They want certainty. They don't even, I mean, they might want a fee subsidy, but they would take certainty that their building permit will be issued over a subsidy any day, right? So the idea on planning is to create that community, that vision, and then provide certainty to individuals to come and build out that vision. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have 8-story buildings in Arcata. I want to make that clear. Those are not decisions that have been made.
Oh, let it percolate. You're going to be out of town for a little bit.
But please get involved. Arcata Gateway, look it up on Google and get involved in the planning.
Safe travels. Merry Christmas. See everybody on Monday.